This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
John Potter with Jay Biggs, and in the studio now with Blake Davidson, a local gem hunter, to tell us about an amazing find. We're talking hidden gold and lost treasure in Nevada, Jay.
That's right, and I got to tell you how this all came to be. It's about 2 or 3 months in the making. First of all, Blake, thank you for joining us this morning right here.
You're very welcome, you guys.
Absolutely. So let me tell you exactly how this all came to be. My son wanted to get his license when he moved back to Nevada from Oregon. And, of course, you know the hell you have to go through with appointments for the DMV in South Reno, right?
Oh, my God.
So we said a rural DMV is going to work better. I still have a license down in Urington. Let's go down there and get all your stuff situated at the DMV. It's going to be a little bit quicker.
Good tip.
Right. It is.
Well, Carson's a good place, too.
We get down there, and we got through the DMV within a half hour, absolutely, after Miss Huxtable got us through. But on top of that, I met this guy right here, Blake, and we're sitting there, and it's such a by-chance meeting. We start talking, and I tell him I'm a radio host, and he starts telling me about this deposit that he's found in Carson City. He gives me some rocks. He gives my son some rocks. I've held on to him. I've talked to people, you know, and you know, I haven't really gotten any major feedback yet from it, but I've said, you know what, this guy keeps on talking about these things. I need to have him on eventually to tell his story. I think it's interesting. I mean, I just randomly met the guy. So, Blake, thank you for coming on and telling us all about this deposit that you got. I would really like to just basically turn it over to you and let you tell us about what it is you have right here in the studio.
Well,
he was in
the lobby, and he came in carrying this box about the size like it's holding a wine bottle or something. But
John
on this
excited.
Box, he wrote with a Sharpie, this contains millions of dollars in, what does it say? Show me that, Blake.
Here, let me grab the box for you guys.
You walk around with a box with what you wrote on it for everybody to see.
This is for you guys to see, but yeah, this deposit.
Show me that side over there.
Yeah, hundreds of trillions.
Hundreds of trillions of dollars, and you wrote all these dollar signs.
Whether the highways and the schools could use that.
Yeah, this community could really use the help. That's kind of where we're trying to get at here today.
But in that box, you have hundreds of trillions of dollars.
Not in this box. These rocks.
It's a prop. Huh?
Yes, it's a prop. So what? Where these rocks come from is yes, where the hundreds of trillions of dollars would come from. It's a deposit, a gold deposit, discovered in Carson City. The way I know it's a gold deposit is because I've had the rocks tested. The difference between an opinion and a fact is an opinion is when we walk outside and guess the weather. A fact is when we look at the thermometer and it tells us what the temperature is.
Right.
So this is kind of exactly what we have here. These rocks have been tested, certified. Gold ore grade from Carson City, which no one thought was possible.
What are you going to do with them?
Well, we're trying to get it public. We're trying to get some historians, some geologists.
Heck with the historians. Go cash it in, man.
It's not that easy. I wish I could do that or we'd all be rich right now. But
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your journey. So first of all, how did you find these?
So about 5-6 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. He had squamous cell carcinoma. He had throat cancer as well as a brain tumor. So to keep my spirits up, I went hiking in the Forest Service in West Carson. And as I was hiking, I was kind of discovering different rock types, different deposit types. And I was like, what is going on here? I grew up here. I've hiked these mountains my whole life, and I couldn't make any sense of it all. So I ended up going to ALS Minerals in Reno and getting a couple assays done. And the results were pretty phenomenal. You know,
Well, you mean to tell me you could find a rock with that much gold and you can't cash it in?
Yeah, these rocks are a one-of-a-kind rock type. They're not even in a rock and minerals book yet.
Oh, wow.
So that's what makes them really unique. When you show these rocks to people or anyone trying to cash them in for money, it doesn't make any sense. But yet the assays say ore grade.
Well, you posted on your Facebook a lost treasure list in Nevada, like the $52,000 casino robbery money that's hidden in Tahoe and the $20,000 in undiscovered gold coins buried by a pine tree in Genoa. Where did you find that list, and what should we go out looking for?
So it's called the Rocker Box, and it tells lost treasure stories. This the treasure story that I related to my gold rocks was the lost gold ledge of Bud Barkley. Bud Barkley was a firefighter on the V&T Railroad, which goes on the west side of Carson, which goes.
We've had them on many times here.
Who?
The V&T Railroad.
The V&T Railroad. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bud was a fireman on the V&T Railroad. As the story goes, he was hunting on the Hobart's land, which is now the Forest Service, and he kicked over a rock, and it glittered with gold, as the story goes. So this deposit I found is right next to the railroad.
Wow. Okay. So, and this, you said this is West Carson City?
West Carson City.
Nice. All right. Well, I mean, obviously, you don't want to give out locations.
Yeah, not too much. We'll keep that on the down low for now.
Well, one of the things that I noticed on your Facebook videos, anyways, you were doing is you were going to talk to Carson City Sheriff Kenny Furlong.
Correct.
What are you trying to accomplish with Kenny?
You'd want the community to support you, you know, to have your back when you find something this significant. I'm looking for support. It's worth lots of money, so you think the community would come around you and support you, and I guess that's what I'm looking for is support from the community, kind of have my back with this. And
if this is something you can claim personally yourself, are you at all worried that someone else is going to be once you give them the location or something, is going to be like, oh yeah, yeah, don't worry about that, and I'll take over from here or something? You know, I mean, I would be a little bit worried like this. Well, who I'm going to give, you know, too much information to about this?
Your spots, Blake? By happenstance, or
in the Forest Service, you can claim mineral rights, but it's kind of a hard process. You have to go to the BLM.
Well. Okay, if it's a BLM, you can take rocks if you're not going to sell them, right?
Yeah, you can take rocks, but there's a certain low, because it's the Forest Service, which is kind of strange that the Forest Service is in relation to the BLM. In order to file a mining claim, you have to go through the BLM. But in the Forest Service, you're allowed to claim mineral rights. So if they're there, you can claim them. So I'm working on my second mining claim right now so that no one can come, quote unquote, claim jump me. So I have my certification of location, my notice of location, so that no one can try to take what I've been working essentially
Phil,
hard for.
Tail this guy when he leaves the station, would you? I will say we have the best rocks in Nevada. We do. We have more turquoise mines than any other state. Where are the best places that have the best rocks and gems for people listening to find? Honestly, and don't be so secretive.
No, in Nevada, it's anywhere. You know, this state's very rich with geology. So it's anywhere you go. As an old geologist once told me, gold is where you find it, and so is all these other awesome gems and minerals. So you just need to get out there and get looking. Get off your phone. Get off the computer and get out and be a normal human again.
I heard of Cold Springs Valley Road, Peterson Mountain, and Hallelujah Junction. Is a good site. I'm a rock hounder, and okay. This is the
Crystal Peak.
Yeah, Crystal Peak's a popular one.
And about 8 miles south of Fernley into Yerington, but the most famous ones in northern Nevada seem to be the Black Rock Desert up north, and the Virgin Valley Mines near the town of Dineo at the Oregon border. These are old mining areas where they may not left much gold or anything, but there are amazing, beautiful rocks.
Correct.
That would look good in your backyard. You live in Dayton, right?
Correct.
So there's some spots around there.
Not so, you know, it there's a reason the old timers did what they did, because they found something, you know. So it's not a bad thing to go ponder those old areas and see what you can't come across.
You ever been to Gemfield?
I have not been to Gemfield.
Dude, I collect rocks. I collect rocks, and not all of them are for weapons, okay? my rock hounder's paradise is called Gemfield. It is open to the public. It's just 4 miles north of Goldfield. And you have you can just walk around and pick up some turquoise and crystal, jasper. They have quartz there, all in one place. And you weigh at the front, and you pay $1 a pound.
Yeah.
It's a group bought this
dollar a pound for crystals?
Yeah. I keep thinking it's really picked over, which it is, but it covers such a huge area.
I guess so.
Honey, just one more rock and we can leave. sorry I'm late, boss. I saw a rock. Or you can go to the rock shops in like Goldfield or Austin and buy them. I'm not talking gold, of course. I'm talking about beautiful. And some of these rocks are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, these gems, as they call them.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, so what would you, I mean, just being honest here, Blake, what would be the best thing possible to come out of this radio show for what you're trying to get done?
Honestly, to get the community involved, get some historians, get some mineral geologists, and verify this treasure story. Come take a look at the deposit, at what's kind of going on, and get it in the public. You know, like you're saying, this would bring money to education. This would help our roads. This would really help Nevada out a lot.
Absolutely, it would. I mean, just you said trillions of dollars. I mean,
and make you rich, right?
Yeah, we'll make us rich. It's about us. You know, you have to. You know, you can only keep what you have by kind of giving it away. So it's you got to pay it forward in a lot of ways.
That's true. That's absolutely true. So if someone does want to help you out, what is the absolute best thing they could do right now? Is it to reach out to you on your Facebook or give you a call?
Yeah,
or
reach out to me on my Facebook. Maybe give you a call, James, and they have your guys' number and just.
775-884-9910. If there is somebody out there that's interested in getting involved with Blake and what he's doing here, please, by all means, call us. Producer Craig can take your information and get it over here to Blake as well. Blake,
so where are you going to go and look? Search now?
Now I'm just where am I going to search now? Well, life's kind of busy now. You gotta work. You gotta
pay bills in Northern
Nevada. Bills, yeah. Until the money comes from the rocks, you gotta just stay beating the drum. So right now, that's kind of what I'm doing.
What do you do for work?
I pour molds at PPF. It's a foundry. So for Peterbilt and the trucks and the gas tanks, I pour the molds for them.
Oh, wow.
The brackets.
Okay. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I love rocks, and I get bummed when I show people my favorite rock, and they don't care.
Yeah, that's...
But that actually few do. But that's okay. That means more for us, Blake.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's actually for every one guy, there's about 1,000 girl rock hounds. So that's a good percentage for us.
Well, every chick I know likes those, like, crystals, and they believe in that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not my thing. Well,
rock
either way.
Rock hounding is fun, though.
It's fun. And it's free. It's free. You know? You can get out, you know, go be a human being again instead of being locked up in all this technology, you know, that we live in nowadays.
Did you go to the Rock and Mineral Show at the Convention Center, what, 2-3 months ago?
No, it's been pretty busy with life, you know.
This thing was jammed. There's a lot of people like us.
You should have had a booth, man. Honestly, you could have bought a booth and told people about this. Well, I mean, how cool would have that been?
I got to prepare for it
next year.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean? Got to prepare for this kind of stuff.
Get involved with Blake. All right, so Blake, where can people find you on Facebook? What's your name?
Facebook name is Blake E. Davidson.
Blake E. Davidson.
Yes, sir.
All right. So make sure you look him up. And, of course, our number is 775-884-9910 if you would like to get involved. But, Blake, hey, man, it's been fun.
It's been awesome.
I really appreciate you coming on. We got some really cool rocks here in the studio to bring us some good karma, at least until they bring us some riches.
There we go.
That would be nice.
It's about those riches.
Well, yeah, exactly. and hopefully this trillions of dollars can go to the state and help out the kids and the roadways like we were talking about earlier. But it's been nice, man. Thank you for coming on. It's been a little bit of a journey to get you on, but here we are. We finally did it.
Yeah.
And I told you, John, we were going to have the guy on that likes rocks more than the Toronto mayor.
Oh, man.
So, all right, we're going to be back right here live and local. John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk, and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
Rain's really coming down. It is a dark gray out there, and this is the big one that they've been warning us about, and we have travel warnings posted everywhere. I-80, Highway 50, chains, stuff.
Thank you to our tipster, to Omar, down in Smith & Mason Valley. I got a call from him, and it looks like rain, sleet, shine, snow, that parade is happening.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, apparently they got almost 60 floats ready to go.
They're a hearty bunch in Yerington.
Well, the wind's picked up out there, apparently, and this is talking to Omar here in the last 15 minutes or so, but he said the wind picked up. They might have some rain or something like that, but we'll see.
Well,
they are not
like the Washoe County School District.
Right.
A little bit of rain comes down and things are canceled. I remember here in the old days, rarely did you ever cancel school.
Right.
Anyway, Phil's still here, our local KKFT historian. And to add on to all the memories in our history in Reno, we were talking about all the things that used to be here but are not anymore. I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs. We got talking about, like, or would you mention that it's not any here.
Parker's Western Wear.
Parker's, it's not here anymore?
No, it closed down years ago. The building's still there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It closed down years ago.
I didn't know that.
Funny story out of Parker's Western Wear.
What?
Jerry Lewis was in town performing at one of the casinos. And he went into Parker's Western Wear, and he saw a pair of pants, loved them. He said, I'll take them all in my size. And he had 22 pair. And he took them all home.
You know what Jerry Lewis did before he died? Of course, the legend was he would only wear a shirt once. I mean, these are nice shirts.
You're kidding.
Once, and they go in the trash.
Wow.
All shirts that Jerry Lewis bought. Just
I
one of those.
Imagine.
He should have had his own thrift store. Not seriously. I mean, you know how much money you probably would have got for having celebrity seconds?
That's sad about Parker's Western Wear, but I can kind of see why. Because in the 70s, about a quarter of the people walking downtown had cowboy hats on.
Yep.
And I had cowboy boots. Gosh, I'd love that. How about the restaurants you miss the most? For steak?
The Liberty Bell.
First thing I was going to mention, yeah. Liberty Bell Steak, Prime Rib. Washoe Flats, Cattleman's.
Jeremiah's.
Cattleman's is closed. Jeremiah's.
I miss the steakhouse they used to have at the Sands year. Excuse me, at the Comstock years ago.
The Comstock.
Yes. Oh, I got so lucky at the Comstock once.
That was a cool place. It was so Western.
About a week after they closed, I went in there with my very first digital camera, an old Apple QuickTake 150.
Yeah.
I walked around like I owned the place, and I took a whole bunch of pictures before I left. Before they eventually threw me out, and I still all kinds
there
of
was
stuff, I admit it.
The Glory Hole in Harrah's for steak, too. Or go back further. The John Esquaga Nugget was famous.
That was the bathroom.
For, of all things, creamed spinach.
What?
No, the chef did not whip it up at your table. The creamed spinach, he can't find it anymore, but it used to come with a chicken dinner. Remember all the creamed vegetables back in the day?
Oh, boy.
Thank goodness you can still get the Nugget Oyster Bar Seafood Pan Roast. There is nothing better.
Well, that's the way it was episode here in Northern
One
Nevada.
More thing. One more thing. Hardly anyone here remembers Flaky Jake, so I always go through the long description of its huge burger toppings bar and the buckets of beer. How could a place like that fail? I don't know. It's where the Sizzler, which just closed in Sparks, right. I think that is the same building that was Flaky Jake's back in the day. And I miss TGI Fridays, Chevy's, Shakey's, Marie Callender's, Krispy Kreme. Well, maybe not Krispy Kreme. I don't miss that.
What about getting an awful awful at the Little Nugget?
There we go.
You know where I just had an awful awful? Of all places, Ely, Nevada.
No kidding.
Rack's restaurant has the awful awful.
Do they give you the giant basket, though, with 2 pounds of
yes,
fries?
Yes, they do.
Really?
They do. Now, I heard the Nugget stopped doing the awful awful thing.
The Nugget went out of business.
No, I mean the Sparks Nugget. Remember,
oh,
they had their own
yeah,
version?
They did. But they didn't give you the same amount of fries.
No, it wasn't the same.
To me, that's the thing. It was
that greasy
burger was good, but it was the
shoestring
like,
fries.
4 pounds of fries that they would give you. Yeah, and it was almost as if, like, I wonder how many pounds of French fries they threw away every year.
Oh, no kidding.
Seriously, how many potatoes did they throw away per year over at the Little Nugget? Because I don't know anybody that would finish that.
I have no doubt that the closing of the Little Nugget impacted the Idaho economy greatly.
Right, right.
That's an issue we should not ignore. You're right. How about Shakey's, Schlotzky's, Lancer's? Lancer's, Eugene's, and...
Hotfries. Yes, and that's
unique
whole,
delicatessen.
The Bird Eye Inn. The Pink Delicatessen?
Unique.
No, I don't remember that. Oh, unique.
It was,
what about the old
half
Empire
a block
Club?
East or west of Kitski on Moana. It was there for
did you
30
go
years.
To the Big Hat at Virginia Moana? Later became Two Guys from Italy. Yeah.
Then yes, became La Vecchia.
Yes, you're right.
And then that moved up onto the hill, up on Skyline at Cash Hill.
Boy, you and I ate a lot, didn't we?
Another place I'm surprised that John didn't bring up that's closed, and I just noticed this the other day for the first time, Susie's.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
I have never partaken
in he doesn't know who they are. He doesn't know who that is.
No,
he knows,
wait a minute.
He knows who Amazon is. That's right. You don't
it closed?
Well, they have a big fence all the way around the building. It looks empty.
Now, how did you know?
Because I'm doing Uber constantly and driving by there.
Oh.
And I went by there the other day to look at those dogs in the kennels. Did you, by the way, Phil, did you finally go over to the Second Street Walmart and take a look at the dogs in the kennels like I told you about two weeks ago?
Unfortunately, I have not. Real life outside of work is busy.
Well, okay, so...
Are they selling them or what?
No, what it is that they have new art on the side of the freeway that they're doing over it by the Second Street Walmart.
Yeah.
And it's these big, beautiful wolves that are painted and stuff like that.
Oh.
But what they've done is they've put fencing around them so that nobody graffitis on them or touches them or whatever until they're done. And it looks like basically these big, beautiful wolves inside of these way too small kennels. So it's not a really good look.
So Reno.
But like I said, it would be more realistic if they had put pit bulls in there and just left them.
Okay. We're going to break for Fox News. We have a travel agent coming up next.
Yeah, that's
We're
right.
We're talking travel.
Siraj, is that she?
Yeah.
Hopefully I
said
that right.
Siraj is going to be on with us. Yeah. Where should you go? Who's got the deals? What's the hot place to go to right now? Yeah.
Don't just listen to John and his driving across Nevada. There's other places to go. It's live and local right here with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk at Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
John Potter with Jay Biggs. We were all scheduled to have a travel agent come by the show. Not here. The second no-show just this morning of a guest. This reminds me of when I was dating.
Luckily I haven't run into that in my adventures dating
show
recently.
Off.
I envy you for getting girls to talk to you. I can't even do that.
Well,
I got Riz, man.
They probably listen to the show, and there you go.
I guess that's what it is. Anyway, well, it's a travel agent, so maybe he found a really good deal that he just couldn't pass up. Yeah, I was just going to say, maybe he's like one of our sales guys, Dave Reichert, and just constantly traveling. Anyway, and you know that name if you're down in the Smith & Mason Valley. For sure you've seen him. But anyway, we have got a little bit of time here this morning together that we are just going to, you know what?
Phone lines are open.
775-884-9910. If you've got something you'd like to talk about, maybe even complain about.
Yes, I do.
Oh.
The stock market.
Oh, okay.
It's
right.
Killing me. There is a wise quote that I once heard. The stock market is where patient people make money from the impatient.
Yeah, that's about accurate.
A bull market is up. The bear market's down. This is a kangaroo market. I mean, I'm a guy who doesn't gamble because if I lose $10, it ruins my day.
Right.
I can only imagine how I would be if I had more stocks. To me, that would be like walking on Lego pieces.
Now, do you go for the chicken or beef stock?
Well,
I should be with the chicken stock. There you go.
Oh, man. I forget the guy's name that's been in the news a lot recently. He's that weirdo that lost more money than anybody else in the entire world in one day after his crypto mining went down.
Oh, yeah, I know you. FJB.
The kid with the T-shirt and the afro hair.
No, I don't think it's FJB. We just all say FJB. But I think it's some other initials.
MJB.
Something like that.
FTB.
But, yeah, there we go. Anyway, FTD, floral arrangements. looks like we might have somebody calling in. But I can say this. If you're worried about losing $10,000, John, or $10, this guy lost like $300 million or something like that in one day.
Oh, good. I feel better. Thanks, Jay.
Well, I'm just saying if you think you're having a bad day with money. But then again, just a blown tire on my end of my day can really ruin my economy. So.
Well, I listen to Tom Sullivan every day, 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to be a business guy. And the last half hour of his show, 2:30 to 3 in the afternoon, he talks about business. And when it comes to the stock market, time is on your side.
Well, not when you're 68 years old like me. How long do I have to wait?
Years, quite frankly.
I'd be dead. Well, another gripe. My darn cat. Jeez, Jay, this is why I barely made it on time to the show.
What happened?
The cat goes out in the backyard. It's heavily fortified. They can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
That cat purposely ignores me. It had 90 minutes outside in the backyard this morning, freezing cold. They snub me when I call them in and everything, and so I'm late to work because I'm worried about the cat coming in.
Don't you don't have a cat door?
No, we had wild animals coming in that thing. We had these weasels or what, I don't know, creatures coming in. Coyotes could have come in. So you can't use the cat door. I did have one laugh out loud moment of the week, though, and it involves cats. Again, I was in the vet's waiting room, typically a sad place to be. Everybody waiting to hear from the vet about what's wrong with our pets. And then the assistant comes out and says, "Steve and Sarah, parents of Lady Gaga." Somebody named their pet Lady Gaga. Folks, life is hard. If you rarely laugh, it's even harder. So,
well, that we could talk about my puppy real quick.
You have a puppy?
I have a puppy.
I had no idea.
Yeah, got a brand new puppy. But we're going to talk about that in just a moment, though. We actually do have a caller, believe it or not.
What is this, believe it or not?
Well,
rude.
Well, Bill's on the phone with us, who used our guest travel agency. Bill, hello and good morning, and welcome to the show. What do you got to say?
I'm waiting for Siraj. He's a great man. He and his wife, Donna, this is, as I was telling your guy that answered the line there, next month will be 35 years ago that Siraj set up a trip for three of my friends and I, and we went to India, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Siraj's father owned a travel agency which covered all of India, so they took care of everything we went. No matter where we landed, there's a guy with a sign with my name on a held up, you know, saying, "Oh, please come this way." Here you and it was the trip of a lifetime. It was just incredible.
You know, and I enjoyed that so much. Could you repeat that person?
Yes, no. He would say, Mr. McKinney, please come this way. We'll take care of everything, the bags. Don't worry, no problem. And the people of India were so gracious and wonderful. But we had it set up. We had a car and a driver everywhere we went. Our luggage.
So you had like all rickshaws included?
No, we didn't have. We had to hail our own. There's more than one.
While you were in India, did you try pawn?
Well, I wish you were here. Thank you for your call, sir. I appreciate that. It doesn't look good when the travel agent messes up his own arrangements.
Bill, producer Phil has a question. Yes. What was it again? Did you try pawn?
Yeah, did you try pawn in India?
No.
Oh, is it a food?
I didn't. We got there and we're looking at each other going, should we even try the water? So they always made
sure. Right. They travel to India and they say that's the first thing is that like you do not drink anything that's not bottled water. So make sure even the ice, exactly. You can go there and get a cocktail at the bar and the ice it's blended with is just regular water. You're going to get sick.
Well, I wish you were here because I love talking travel.
Okay. But thank you guys. And I hope Siraj makes it sometime.
Right, absolutely, Bill. Well, thank you very much, and keep listening, sir. We love to hear from our listeners right here.
Travel agent messed up his travel arrangements here.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, we haven't heard from him yet.
His Uber didn't show up. Jay's been on the air.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, maybe that's the case. Well, he didn't give a pre-tip. So.
Oh, my God.
They can do that.
See, when I was a driver,
your passenger ahead of time.
Yeah, when I was a driver, no, that wasn't part of it. You couldn't tip until after the ride. Do your rating and you're tipping after the rider was out of the car, they would do the riding, the tipping and the rating, and we would do our rating, and then people would get in the car and didn't realize that the drivers rated the passengers. They had no idea.
Ouch! Right.
And they couldn't understand why they were down at three.
Well, here's the thing with Uber anyways that I've again, like I said earlier in the show, and Craig, you can attest to this because you yourself have been a driver. It's almost like they are catching on to what I do, where I go, and where I stay, because it's almost like things have changed up on the algorithms as far as where I'm getting the rides, where I have to go sit. I've got a couple areas. I mean, did you do this, Craig, where you just go and post, and that's kind of your little spot until you get dinged with a call, like a hot area?
Yeah, I would. My favorite ding was I knew when checkout time was at the Peppermill, and go sit in the Peppermill parking lot, take a trip to the airport. You know, because every checkout time is 11 o'clock, so people are checking out between 8 and 11. That's where I was posting, for the most part,
right.
Or that or Atlantis.
I would do GSR. I still do GSR. In fact, where I go and park is I'll go to GSR, get off the freeway, and I'll go park right in front of that little fire station that's right next to the 395 bridge there at the end of the parking lot.
That onion-shaped building.
Yeah. Yes, the onion-shaped
building. The thing with GSR, though, that was only a $3.48 ride. So, you know, you go for what you can get. Yeah. And then also, if I had been up at Lake Tahoe, like taking riders up on for the weekend skiing or whatever, I would. There was a couple of us that would get a motel room and share it for the night when we were done driving, and then pick up passengers all day Saturday and Sunday running around the lake. You know, mm-hmm. and the thing from South Lake, there was no cannabis stores on the east side until you hit Incline Village. So from South Lake Tahoe, you know, and State Line, you'd get riders going up just in Incline Village to get to the cannabis shop. So,
well, it's great for people who like to drive. I hate driving, personally. So it wouldn't work for me.
Well, it's funny you said the cannabis stores. I had a lady the other day from Georgia, and she was a peach. Let's just say that. But she thought it was so interesting that the cannabis was legal here in Nevada. There's so many places to go. And she wanted to do a tour of the dispensaries. So what did I do? Pretty much I spent about 3 hours driving her around from dispensary to dispensary and waiting outside. And she...
Yeah.
That's what you do anyway, Jay.
No, come on, John. No, it's not the case.
Well, when
not
I was picking up
case.
From GSR, the closest dispensary is right over there on Glendale or East 2nd.
Yeah, Sierra Well.
Yep.
It's something else
Sierra
now.
Wellness. Yeah, it was Sierra. Yeah, whatever. But yeah, That was the most popular trip if you're sitting in the GSR. That or going from GSR over to the Nugget for dinner. That I had that more than once, too.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. You know who really uses the heck out of Uber is college kids.
Mm-hmm.
Going and sitting up at the university at the Highlands or one of those places.
One of the four properties up there. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yes, they go insane with those. So my hot spots have been, I'll park downtown, kind of at the Silver Legacy or Circus in that area there on Sierra or Center. And then I'll either park at the GSR or the Peppermill or the University. And those are the spots. So
Craig, did you tell every passenger, you know, this isn't my real job, you know?
Actually, I actually did tell people what I did for a real living. Yeah. But then they asked me, well, how does this work out for you? And I go, well, the first year I was doing Uber and Lyft together. I did both, and I was 25 to 30 hours a week just in my off time from my daytime job, and I made $50,000 my first year.
Yeah, see, I hear stories like that, but I also hear stories about people who say I'm just not making it. So yeah.
I will tell you, there's a lot that goes with it. Again, earlier we talked about tips and stuff like that. I thought to myself, I'll tell you, honestly, I've only been on an Uber maybe 5 times in my whole entire life before starting to work for Uber. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, what are the things people would want? And that's why I got like the chargers, for instance, for either phone or the waters, or, you know, just having a good conversation. Stuff like that can go
a long way. You're a people person, and that would work.
In my three years of driving for Uber and Lyft, I only had one customer that came in the vehicle that wanted absolutely no sound. Turn off the radio, don't talk to him.
Don't talk to me.
And it was going all the way up to Truckee, from the airport up to Truckee. So it was a silent ride up to up into Truckee.
I did some of that the other day. I drove from, in fact, John, I was telling you about this. I had three people from Peru in my car that
you said
are working
you had the
here.
President of Peru.
No. I said I had, oh. The president of Peru was overthrown, and I had people from Peru
you
in my
see,
car.
You mix up your Peru stories. Well, can't keep track. Anyway, we got to take a break.
I'm not trying to Peru myself. All right, we're going to be right back.
And we got a phone call we'll take after the break.
Absolutely. All right, stick
around,
folks.
Our phone number is 1-800.
What? 775-884-9910. There could be an 800 if you're from out of area, but there's no reason to call. It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT.
It's John Potter with Jay Biggs each and every Saturday morning at 99.1 KKFT. And our phone number, 775-884-9910. Let's go to the phones. And Mark waiting to talk to us. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John Potter. Hey, I used to watch you every morning on the news. And you had the candor and the truth. And I just loved watching you. Then you kind of disappeared. And now whenever I watch the morning news, doesn't matter what station, I just want to drink. And so it's really good to hear your voice out there. You know, when I ran across this radio station, hey, I know that voice. That's John Potter. Right on. So you found a good home. This is a great station. And to touch on what you guys were talking about before, all the restaurants that have closed since I've been in Reno, which has only been 20 years, the steakhouses, the places to go get meat, they're the ones that seem to be going away. You know, and did I hear right that Sizzlers and Sparks closed?
Yeah, they just they closed off. There were 6 restaurants in the same day, I believe, that closed down.
We Boston lost Long Market.
Yeah, yeah. Long John Silver's.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's sad because I'll tell you, Sizzler was my I love Flame that toast,
jumper.
Man.
Me too.
Flame Jumper's gone.
Flame Jumper's
gone. Yeah, first
too?
The awful awful.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that.
The awful goes awful away. Now gone. Sizzler goes away. And so I was really.
How about the
Cuban
cushion? That's gone too.
Agent. What? What's one?
The Cuban cushion. That's been gone for a long time too.
Oh, yeah.
The building's gone.
So
there.
It's kind of.
Well, we got a Cracker Barrel going in there, I believe.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was kind of hoping that your travel agent would come on the radio because with all these restaurants closed,
I think that's why he's not here. He's out looking for the awful awful. So,
yeah.
All right, sir. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Mark. Take care of yourself, brother.
In the studio with us is Phil Galbraith, the KKFT historian who also likes to gripe.
Oh, I do.
The only griping historian in Reno.
He's
what
got
now, Phil?
Captain Connor just gave him some bunny ears right
what
here.
What now, Phil?
The Spaghetti Bowl Project.
Oh, ooh. Here we go.
Well, we're traffic guys. We can complain about this daily.
Absolutely. They're doing a good job in the Spaghetti Bowl Project.
But
it is improving by the day. However, the 580 and 395 going into and coming out of the Spaghetti Bowl is being completely ignored. It's almost like driving on the surface of the moon when you're up approaching Parr Boulevard between Parr and Lemon. They're ignoring that part of the road while they put in this new section, and something must be done.
Well, it's an end-out thing, right?
It is ruining the alignment on my vehicle.
This is the
is it potholes or what? What is it that you're complaining mostly about?
Well, they have potholes. There is approaching the Panther Valley exit. There is a seam in the road, and it's not exactly good, and it'll spit you into the next lane if you're not careful.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you got to hold on to your, yeah.
Well, this is the agency that puts road warning signs on bike lanes.
Yes.
So you have to maneuver around. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was weird when they widened the lanes. They added lanes on 80 East, but did not widen any lane going from 80 westbound to 580 south, yep. And there's still that one lane curve.
Yeah, you're right.
And so everything, it made it worse because everything now backs up even more to use this one lane that curves to go 580 south.
And coming in from the North Valleys, you've got two lanes dumping into what's going to be 5 or 6.
Strange things.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah, that is interesting. So, all right. Well, I mean, and when you transition right now from the eastbound 80 to 395 south, That is where you're going to have to actually merge over now, because you're going to have no choice but to get over off of Mill or 2nd Street there. Right. And the weird thing about that is now that they've opened up eastbound I-80 to 395 south with two lanes, a lot of people still don't know because it's really new, and they're still staying in that far right lane and thinking that's the only lane. But what it does is it backs up traffic trying to get on from Wells.
Uh-huh.
And so here's the biggest piece of advice I'd give anybody driving downtown. My buddy Nico told me about this. But if you're going eastbound 80 downtown past Virginia and you want to go 395 north,
yeah,
don't merge to the right. Get in the number 3 instead of the 4 lane, because then you can just take your own exit to 395 north. A lot of people think it's just one lane.
No, you're absolutely so, right.
And that's what backs the traffic up there.
All right. Got to clarify for listeners. The lanes from the center lane is number one. It's not the lane that you're getting on is number one on the on-ramp. It starts on the very center lane is lane number one. So count over from there. Because a lot of people have no idea about that.
Yeah, the fast lane.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that is a California thing. And I will say that's something, being from LA and doing traffic down there, that's what I'm used to. Because you have the HOV lane, which is the carpool lane, the far left lane of the highway. And then your next lane is your number one lane. And then you count over to the shoulder. So if you ever hear me on traffic reports say, oh, something's going on in the number one lane, that's what I'm talking about. It's your far left-hand lane and falling over to the right.
See, so, I think this is where the travel agent is lost.
Maybe. Probably, did you tell them that's what it was?
I said to take the number one lane. What was I thinking?
Maybe you said to take the 395 instead of just 395, because I've had people say, you're from L.A., aren't you, or something, because you say the 395 80.
Yep.
Or not just the 431 Mount Rose.
Stop that California talk.
It's the 405.
Don't Californicate my freeways. All right.
We're going to be back next Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon. John Potter with Jay Biggs. Thanks, Phil.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and Craig in Carson City, thank you. We'll be back. Listen to the podcast at 991fmtalk.com.